if you have children, you get to a certain point in celebrating Christmas that you you don't quite know how to handle their stockings. Because when all your children are now big lads in their 20s, what do? Outside of the usual piece of coal. And I thought it was quite marvelous that Mary thought this year to put in all of their stockings on the hearth at the deanery, well-wrapped, inexpensive, but serviceable compasses. Each of the boys received a compass, obviously, because nobody knows where they're going. And who doesn't need some orientation? Well, I say that only because the passage today about the three wise men coming to Herod and then to the Christ child on Epiphany is an orientation for a struggling person that is second to none. I would like to talk a little bit about the question of your compass and your orientation and sort of where you're going, because this passage is all about that. Now, the thing that most affects a proper true north in navigating your way through life is something that the Bible calls the world. And in the Bible language, the world is a negative thing. The world is the sort of summary of cable, all print journalism and ideas that people had about themselves and trends and fashion and sort of pictures of what it is to be human that are all around us that are constantly sort of squeezing us into thinking that this thing is right or that thing is right. And the world is seen as a negative thing, and it's all around you and me, 24 hours a day, all these sorts of ideas, and they change constantly, and what was good 5 years ago is now automatically bad, and what caused cancer 10 years ago is now the best thing you can possibly eat, and you know what I'm saying. The world is an ever-changing sort of lazy Susan of possibilities, and it's gives basically most people whatever it is that they think they ought to be or do. And in the Bible, we're told very strenuously to flee, to keep the world at arm's distance. Now, in the story of the three Eastern wise men who came to the court of King Herod, a very powerful illustration is given of how the world affects someone who's looking for direction. The wise men have been given a prophecy that a great king will come. And they've been led by this portent in the skies, and they're on their way, and they enter Jerusalem, and everyone is troubled. And Herod is the voice of the world. Herod summoned the wise men secretly, and then sent them to Bethlehem. Now, the thing about the world, it's always got a secret. There's always an agenda. If anybody's ever trying to get you to do anything or get you not to do anything, always be very nervous, because it's usually you're doing what they really want you to do. They'll tell you it's all for your own good, and they'll tell you this, that, and the other thing. But it didn't take postmodernists and deconstructionists who hang around English departments to tell us that basically everything that people says comes out through the siphon of what you really want. Basically, man is a political animal, and you want what you want in your way, and Herod is the voice of the world. So when anyone has any advice for you, I guarantee you in all cases, it has something to do with about them. And it was something very clear about them. He summoned the wise men secretly. The world has an agenda. It wants to do something to you. It wants to lay something on you. It wants you to shut up and sit down. And that's why he summoned them secretly. He represents the world. And then he says to them, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Sounds good. The key word there is diligently. The thing about the world is this influence all around us that tries to sort of tell us whatever we're supposed to think or be. It changes every 5 years, every 5 weeks. The thing about it, it's diligent. It never stops. The world is on your back when you're 18 in a huge way, It's on your back when you're 25 in a huge way. It's on your back when you're 55 in a huge way. And it's never going to stop being in your back. The day you retire, the world is just as strong. Ideas about what your children ought to be or what they shouldn't ought to be or what your life ought to be or what it shouldn't ought to be or anything like that, it will be just as powerful when you're 80 as when you are 15. The world attacks the needy person looking for direction and silences her diligently. The world's influence never stops. Let me give you a terrible example, but it's very important to know about this. The Weekly Telegraph, this is an English newspaper, that had an obituary a few weeks ago that was one of the saddest obituaries you could read. It was the obituary of Marika de Klerk. Marika de Klerk was the wife of the Nobel Prize winner de Klerk, who with Nelson Mandela created a moment of tremendous pregnancy in human affairs in the last years of the 20th century. There's even been a television movie made about this man and Nelson Mandela, and he did great good things. For 40 years, roughly, of marriage, Marika de Klerk was a good political wife and stood by him and looked supportive and helped him move from apartheid to a far more liberal and concessive position that created great fruit. Well, she's 67 years old, and about 2.5 years ago, I guess, as it said in the obituary, the world suddenly turned upside down in her 60s. He left her for another woman, much younger than himself. And he left her like that after almost 40 years of marriage. Now, I don't know what was going on. I don't need to know. But there's Marika de Klerk. And she's 60. And she was murdered about 4.5 weeks ago by the handyman in her condo complex where she lived in relatively affluent retirement. Now, that is a shocking thing because that says that Herod is searching diligently for those it wants to destroy. And you can have made it to the Oslo, you can have made it to the Stockholm or Oslo. You can have made it to the Nobel Prize winning ceremony with the man you've been married to and had children with. And now where is he when you're murdered by the handyman? He's off getting another award somewhere with Mrs. de Klerk. Well, what I'm trying to say is the world is diligent in its search to destroy the good. So what have I said so far? The world is always secretly having an agenda which is not your good. Secondly, it is diligent in its search for an object of its hatred. And thirdly, the world is a photo negative of that which is right and true. Because listen to what he says. When you have found him, says Herod, Herod the Great, I should say, this is very well attested figure in antiquity, very well attested figure. He was truly Mr. Big. I mean, this man was a gargantuan figure of self-infatuation that resulted in his own murder of one of his wives and two of his sons, just to name three things. That I, too, may come and worship him. Translate, that I, too, may come and murder him. Red rum, red rum, red rum, that I too may come and murder him. Now what the world is, it's like a photographic negative. Everything you hear on Geraldo, and that's a very good example, I stand by it. Everything you hear on Geraldo, or you hear from Madonna, or you hear from anything like that, these sort of icons, Joan Collins was in the 5th or 6th, whatever it is, What you will hear is a negative of the truth. There's a movie in 1922, a German movie called Nosferatu, about vampires, and the director, in fact, was a genius, F.W. Murnau. And he's the first person ever in movies, when the bad guy comes on, he reversed the negative. So the viewer sees the film, but it's in a negative of the film. That's very powerful. Even D.W. Griffith never approached this. Because the world that spat out Marika de Klerk, and the world that is diligent in its desire to spit you out with false ideas and seductive dreams is the world which will murder you. And it is absolutely clear and necessary that you see the world for what it is. and that you realize that if you want to go true north, the world is always trying to magnetize that dial, so you cannot go the right way. Now, are you with me here? It's absolutely important that you realize this, or you will die unhappy, because you're going to be distressed and disappointed and made bitter by the twists and turns that your life takes. The world will seduce you, and unless you're reconciled with the truth about God, as opposed to the world's false truth, Geraldo, that changes 24 hours a day and has a false story, you will never, ever find true north. Now, where are we going here? The wise men, however, left King Herod, went their way, verse 9, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now, what that means is that the human predicament absolutely changed in connection with a reversal or transvaluation of all the usual values. When Jesus Christ was born, God walked out of the myth of myth. He walked out of the mists of abstraction and myth, and even the myth of power, and exposed himself in uncharacteristic weakness. And that is the message of the true north. The only way to live your life is to be in touch with your weaknesses. As your preacher, there's only one thing I can do for you. In addition to expositing the Bible, I can try to get in touch with as many weaknesses as I can find in my own personal inventory and apply to them, the weaknesses, the power of God in weakness. And then maybe I'll give you something you can go on and leave here with some joy on. They rejoiced with great joy. Now, anybody here heard of the Madame Tussauds? Well, I like to go because I like to have my photograph taken with Joan Collins. Joan Collins is the only Madame Tussauds wax figure which hasn't changed in 40 years. You know, I used to go and I had my photograph taken with Hillary Clinton, just like you did. And I had my photograph taken with the former Archbishop of Canterbury, and I had my photograph taken with you name it. But the only figure that's still there is Joan Collins. Well, I only say that to alert you. If you want to see what I'm saying, spend some time in Madame Tussauds, because Madame Tussauds is a hymn to the world's idea of what manages to have a value. And Christianity is a complete transvaluation in which the myth of success and cosmetic glitter is exchanged for the reality of love. And that's the bottom line. If you've ever believed or been snookered into believing that being good-looking or successful or glittery is the answer to your problems, go to Madame Tussauds and in your own mind pull a Vincent Price and burn the place down in your own mind and substitute the myth of love incarnate in weakness, and your star will have someone to turn to. Well, I'm done. Maybe you can help me out. I'm trying to find a new exit from the summit. I was there the other day, I have to admit, because they have really good, in the Barnes & Noble, they have a really good section of soundtracks. Movie, that's a defensive statement. They have the best soundtracks in Birmingham there. But the point is, you would have thought that there must have been 30,000 people at the summit 2 nights ago. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It was like the day after Thanksgiving. I prayed that I could have one of those blue lights on top of my car that said mall security, and I'd be all right. But you, I mean, what, is it T.S. Flyer? What's the name of that restaurant? T.S. Chang's? You would have, I mean, there must have been 20,000 people there. You couldn't find a parking place for love and money. And obviously September 11th changed everything. And as I went out of that particular embodiment of Vanity Fair, and look, I was there. But as I drove out, I this verse came into me. And it said, and this is the verse that it said, and they, being more than a dream, they resolved to return not to Herod, but they went home by another way. Now, when you get down there on 280, everybody, Everybody's going to Greystone. I mean, there's some place. Have millions of cars going left, a few cars going right. But is there another exit? Because I want to know about it metaphorically. Because you see, if you can unmask the stultifying and dazzlingly effective power of the world to captivate your priorities, if you can see that for what it is, which is really like lifting up a rock and finding a hoard of roaches under it, that's what some really is. If you can see that underneath the rock is a horde of roaches that will spew you out of your mouth as quick as can be, just see the graduate. Just see the end of the graduate. Remember, he got what he wanted. Catherine Ross, I got what I wanted. Well, should have stayed in Van Bancroft. What I'm trying to tell you about this thing, you get what you want, and it's a rock with roaches, and if you'll unmask the world, You're going to be closer to true north and unmask it by going to the powerlessness of the love which asks nothing in return and which is totally devoted to your good, not to inherit. And that is the love of God. And in that case, you will in fact find your way home, but it will be a different way. Amen.